Betches Media presents the Betches Brides Podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed, because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Betches Brides Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Pellegrino.
And I'm Jordana Abraham. Welcome back. I mean, this isn't the first that we've already done our New Year's episode, I guess, since that came out last week. We record a little ahead of time, so it feels like New Year's still to us, or at least to me.
It does. Right? It does. It feels like a new year. It feels different. It feels like we haven't talked in forever.
I know. Well, it's been a minute. But I'm glad to be back here with you. Very excited. Anything new on the wedding planning front for you?
Yes. Okay. So you know how we said that last week was going to be like productivity wedding planning week, where, because I did have, we all had like a good, at least a week off, which was so nice. So I will say what I did, I like am psycho and emailed all of my vendors just to like make sure they were still on board for September 4th of this year. Got an answer back from all of them. They're like, yep, we have you on board. Don't worry. Because some of them, at least for my vendors specifically, I don't know what other people had to do with postponing, but some of my vendors didn't make me like re-sign anything. They were just kind of like, yep, gotcha for next year. So I needed that.
Like, you didn't have anything in writing.
Yeah. Which I don't know. That's probably not best practice. You're probably supposed to get everything in writing, but I don't, cause some of my vendors, like my photographer, I'm like good friends with, and we text. So that wasn't like official over email. And she even sent me like a screenshot of her calendar back that says like September 4th, 2021, Nicole's wedding. So it was just funny because I got that extra validation. So they're all squared away for the most part. I still have to do like more design stuff, but I'm waiting a little on that. I still have this weird thing where I haven't ordered new save the dates yet, which I need to do. I have it on my list for this week. I know that's a theme. A lot of people, we did an Instagram poll this past week, and a lot of people are just like freaking out about save the dates because they're being forced to like uninvite guests and whatnot. And there's still that uncertainty in the air of this year. So yeah,
right.
They didn't do that yet. But other than that, what did I do? I mean, I just kind of confirmed with my vendors. So I guess I didn't really do much, but I'm still on track for planning. Like I have all my vendors already. So that's like kind of the big time suck of planning that I already have done. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's what I did. What about you? Did you do anything?
So I didn't really do anything in the time, in the week between, when I last saw you, but I am planning on setting up my save the dates this week because it is a destination wedding. So I wanted, I mean, I'm doing it via email. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about like when to send them, when to do whatever. And like, I know like the traditional thing is like a paper thing, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I just feel like email is the easiest way to do it because I also, because it's a destination wedding, have a lot of information to give people. And I think it's just easier to have it on a website where they can check back and see it more frequently. But I want to give people, I know that like 2021 dates are filling up. So I want to make sure everyone knows when it is and can like, it's January. So I feel like people want to like plan their, to the best of their ability anyway, their like year.
Yeah. Truly, I might honestly copy you right now. Now that I know like you're doing it, I think I'm going to do that too, because that's, I spent $300+ on my save the dates already. I just don't want to, God forbid something happens in September doesn't work. I don't want to have $300 down the drain anymore. I'm doing it. That's it. Just made that.
Oh, decision. Wow. So I influenced you. I feel so special. I mean, yeah, it's like, it's, I think if you're a very traditional I've talked to, friends I know who are getting married, and they're just like, they're traditional and they're like, I want to do it the traditional way. And they've also had to postpone weddings. So they're like, I don't want to send it out. Like, what if I just decide I want to like fuck the whole thing and I don't want to do it. Like, I'm not sure if I should order it. And some people do want to go that traditional route. I think that's cool. If that, if you're like, if that's kind of your personality and your thing, I think everyone should do whatever's comfortable for them. For me, I'm not very traditional. I'm very like, I'm much more into efficiency.
I could see that.
So I'm just trying to like get the information out there, I think, in like the easiest to access way. So that's why I am doing that. I'm doing paperless post.
I think too now. Oh, paperless post is great. I've gotten like invitations from that before. I think now more than ever, like nobody cares how you're getting the message across anymore. Like we have a lot of people freaking out about how to uninvite people and how best to do it. They've been making up terms such as like unsave the date or what's scratch the date. That's a new term I've learned recently.
Release like, the date.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Enough like wedding lingo. There's a whole new language around it. But that's the thing. I'm like, as long as you're getting the message across, whether you're trying to get somebody to save the date, whether you're trying to invite somebody, whether you're trying to uninvite them, all you have to do is be straight up and say, like, if you're uninviting them, just say, look, I'm sorry. Like, we want to do what's best for our guests and ourselves. We still want to get married, but we're not having a big celebration. Yeah. You just be honest and people understand it. Even though things are looking up, people are getting vaccinated. We're all going to be vaccinated by the summer, blah, blah, blah. Whoever wants to will be. I get that. But it's like, even then, we still are in a pandemic. So
no one's going to take it personally, I really think. And again, if they take it personally, then like that's more about them than about you. We say this a lot. Mm-hmm. And then for me also, I think for destination, anyone who else is doing a destination wedding, the reason I didn't send it out early, even earlier, I kind of wanted to send it out like a month ago, but the flights were not on sale yet. So I was like, I'll send it out when they're on sale so that people, because then you're going to have to continuously remind people to do things. So I wanted to wait until you could actually book a flight to send out the save the date. But I'm excited. I'm nervous. I think it will be interesting. I'll let you know if I have any issues or thoughts as people see and judge my wedding website to let me know what I forgot to include, or I'm sure I forgot to include something, or I'm sure I left something out, or I'm sure people want more information about something else. And then for anything that I haven't actually planned fully yet, I just wrote like more information to come.
The beauty of a website is you can quickly pop on there, update it. I'm sure people will remind you of the information that's missing. Right. But yeah, I actually did. You reminded me. I did do that over this past week. I updated our wedding website. I updated our registry a little bit. I still have to do that more. Something I didn't know. Somebody bought us something off of our registry and like for our original wedding date and to like, you know, help us celebrate that and whatnot. And I didn't know that you have to actually like approve it to be sent to you. Like I remember they sent us these like glasses for our bar.
Zola?
Card. Yeah. And oh, yeah. I remember being like, where are the glasses that Jess sent like forever ago? And Mike was like, oh yeah. And I called the customer service people. They were super helpful. And they were like, oh yeah, you have to like approve it.
I love that about Zola. This isn't a Zola ad, but I do love that about Zola because I'm also registered at Bloomingdale's and they don't make you approve it. And I like don't necessarily want all the shit that I registered for there.
Yeah.
So I just like, they didn't even send me a notification that someone bought it. So it just like showed up and I was like, I did not approve this
right now.
So I like the approval system. Mike also likes the approval system because he doesn't let me actually get all the gifts because he's not like, sometimes it's like you need to like put shit on there so that there's options for people, but you're not necessarily like totally sure you want it. And we live in New York, like the apartments are small. He's like, stop getting shit sent here that we don't have anywhere to put it. And he gets it. Like we have every item that someone actually buys, we have like a debate about if we should get it. I always think we should get it. And he's like, we don't actually need it.
That's smart though, because it's smart for them to do that. Cause a lot of people store their stuff. If they live in a small apartment, you might send stuff to like a parent's house if you want to store it there for a little and whatnot. So you can change the address and do that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, You can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Should we get into our listener emails for the day?
Let's do it.
All right. I'll read the first one. Thank you guys, by the way, for writing in. We love getting your emails. We hope that they are helpful to you. And if you have any question that you would like us to answer on the podcast, please email brides@betches.com, brides@betches.com. And if we've already answered your question, we got recently an update, which we're going to save for like an update episode. If you wrote in and you took our advice or you didn't take our advice, we want to know what happened. We'll do a whole episode where we recap, the advice we gave, if you guys liked it, if you didn't like it, if we ruined your life, we ruined your wedding, or, we were really helpful, let us know. Yes. And let's get into it. All right.
Awesome.
So someone writes, "Hey girls, I love your podcast and Instagram page, and I really hope you can share this question/situation on a future podcast. Warning, she says it's a long story. I've been engaged for almost a year and a half, and it's so sad to say that I feel that I was never celebrated/got the recognition of being engaged that I always wanted and thought I would have received. I started to feel this way around my 1 year engagement anniversary. I got engaged in August 2019 and my wedding is July 2021. I was feeling really sad because in a way it didn't even feel like being engaged was special anymore, mostly because I didn't feel like it was such a big deal to people. In mind, my fiance's families and even our friends. Sure, we got the whole, oh my God, congratulations on your engagement and things like that. But hardly anyone got us any type of gift or any cake/celebratory dinner or drinks. I could count up to 5 instances where our family/friends celebrated our engagement with other actions besides just words, like flowers, cakes, gifts, dinner. And that doesn't even include some of our immediate family who didn't do anything like that at all for us. My engagement party was supposed to be this past May, but obviously due to COVID, it had to be canceled, and there was just no possible way for my fiance and I to have any type of formal celebration with our families. Mostly, we weren't even sure at the time when things would be open for an occasion like that to happen as originally planned. Plus, financially, we would not be able to afford it on our own. It just makes me sad when I think about all the times that I've seen people I know get gifts and baskets full of wedding and bride-to-be goodies, and the times that I would get excited for me to have that one day, and I never did. To make matters worse, one of my good friends got engaged almost a year after I did, and our friend group threw her a small engagement party on my 1 year until my wedding date. Now, don't get me wrong. I was so happy to do it for her. Her mom had passed away when we were in high school, and her family situation is a little complicated, but it still hurt knowing that those friends never did anything close to that for me. Plus, it was a little hard that day to talk about being engaged and hearing comments like, you must have a million things that say I'm engaged/bride-to-be gifts, when in reality, I had close to none because nobody got/gifted me anything like that. I don't want to come off as a selfish person, but it sucks to be the person who goes above and beyond and does everything for everyone and hardly gets anything back in return. I know I'm probably not the only bride who feels like this, but I know it's something that bothers me a lot, and I would like to hear feedback on how to deal with the situation."
Woo.
Oh,
a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
So we've actually gotten similar questions to this. This one is super long and detailed, but same vein of questions. A lot of people have asked, like, it's this common theme of kind of not feeling like you're, this is your wedding. This is your lead up to the wedding, your whole engagement. And these brides kind of not feeling like they're being kind of just celebrated enough or special enough or in the spotlight enough. And here's the thing, as the middle child attention seeking person that I am, I can relate to them because you want that attention. It is your wedding. Like, part of the fun of getting married and stuff is that whole fun lead up where like you are the center of attention. So I do relate to them. I think this situation specifically, I think she does need to just kind of step up and take initiative and tell. I think this is something where you can go to your friends and tell them, like, look, I'd love if we could celebrate me a little more in different ways. I wouldn't go telling people to buy you bridal goodies and gifts and stuff. And just to make her feel better, I've gotten a ton of bridal goodies and stuff. It's like, after a while, you have too much of that stuff.
Right. I think I agree with you. I think she might, people might not even know that she's like actually cares or is thinking about it or is upset by it. Or like for me, like I hate that bridal Mr. and Mrs. shit.
Too much.
Like I hate it personally. I just think it's like kind of cheesy, but other people like it. I get it. Like no knock on them. For me, it's like not my scene, but like, you know what I'm saying? People could people could think like, oh, like she's doesn't like attention. Like she's like more low key. She wouldn't be into that. It would like, there's no way for people to like read your mind. And I think this is an issue that comes up, not just, you know, with friends or around engagement, but it can come up in other things, like come up with anytime you're disappointed because you expect someone like, oh, they should have known.
Right.
And we've all had instances of that where it's like, oh, like I wish, you know, someone had done more for my birthday, or I wish that,
right,
you know, that you treated this day is like more special than it was, or you got me a better anniversary gift, or you did like this or that.
Right. You have to tell them. You have to appoint them.
That's for sure.
I feel like too, I don't know what her like dynamic with her bridal party is, but this is where like you really can go and lean on your bridesmaids to kind of like help plan this stuff. Personally, I didn't even do an engagement party. That just kind of, I remember like getting engaged. My family was all there. Like that was kind of all we needed. But for stuff like my bachelorette, like the other day I texted two of my friends, and because long story short, she'd kill me if she heard this. But I have a hunch, it's not confirmed, I have a hunch that my sister is trying to get pregnant again. So if she's pregnant during my bachelorette and stuff, she's my maid of honor. I texted my two friends and I was like, I need you guys to be ready to plan this thing. Cause like, and now they know like, okay, this is our responsibility now.
Right.
It's kind of like, I don't know. I just think being honest and upfront with them is best. And it's not like your wedding is the excuse to do that. It's not like you're every day randomly just asking them to like do stuff for your life. Like this is your wedding. I think they'll understand if you're kind of asking them to help.
I don't even know that you need to ask necessarily. I think that like you could give I think you could just say next time you're talking to your friends, like, you know, I'm just feeling a little like bummed. I'm feeling a little sad lately. I just kind of feel like my wedding has gotten like kind of lost in this whole COVID situation. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like maybe it's a little dumb, but I feel like I don't know. I imagine like getting all this attention and stuff. And like, I just feel kind of sad, like a little forgotten about almost. And like, it makes mm-hmm. me like, again, I would start with like a feelings thing, not about like you haven't done enough or I haven't gotten any of this. I wouldn't even like get into the specifics of that unless they ask. But I would just be like, I'm just feeling kind of sad. Like, I wish people were more excited about my wedding. And I think that like, you don't even have to say like, can you get me this, you know, Mr. and Mrs. towel set, or throw me an engagement party, or do a virtual thing. I think like, if people know that you're sad, like that should be enough of a like trigger for them to step it up. And then you don't have to feel like you're like asking someone to like plan your new engagement party. Or I think if you have good friends and they care that you're upset about something, they're going to like step up and try to plan something and to make you happy. And I think that like, I think it's really hard to say that to people because it's really hard to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I get that. So I think it's just like, voicing your opinion, you know, like, or voicing what your thoughts are that you're sad, you know, like squeaky wheel gets the grease, as they say.
And look, if it makes you feel better to speaking to her, again, like so many, now more than ever, so many brides are feeling like this because again, we're in a pandemic and oftentimes like your wedding isn't the top of people's minds and stuff. And it sucks. And we feel it too. Like even, you know, like I think even my friends have been like, oh, are you like still even doing a bridal shower and bachelorette? And I'm like, yes. And I think too, that's, it's given me more like spark to take my own initiative and really like tell people like, oh yes, this is still going to happen this month, like mark your. So I think you just have to be even that more assertive with everything.
100%. Now, I also think people are like unsure, like if you want to talk about it, like sometimes like people, you know, they postpone or they're like stressed and they're sometimes people are like, they want to tell you all their plans for like updating or changing their wedding. But some people are like, I don't really want to be asked what I'm doing. Like, I don't know, like, I don't want to like get into it. And so like, if someone's not sure, sometimes they just don't say anything. So I think just take the initiative, be vulnerable and say how you feel. And if they're good friends, they'll step it up.
Totally. All right, let's do the next one. I love this one actually because I think we have good advice for it.
Great.
Okay, so I'll go ahead. My fiance and I are planning on having a 50-ish person wedding in October of 2021, obviously COVID willing. We're struggling to figure out who should marry us. Neither one of us are religious at all, so we don't want anyone with any religious affiliation performing the ceremony. We like the idea of having a close friend do it, but we are already each only having one bridesmaid and one groomsman to avoid the awkward process of ranking our friends. So asking one friend to do it feels like it would further exclude some of our other friends from the wedding. Help, who does the ceremonies for non-religious people? We are completely at a loss. We want our wedding to feel intimate and personal, and the idea of having a rando there performing the ceremony really irks me. Any advice would be much appreciated. Sincerely, who's going to marry me? Oh, and then PS, any additional advice for how to make your friends feel included in your wedding day when they are not a part of your bridal party would also be great. So for this one, I was like, who do I know that's had like a friend marry them? So I texted Ashley Fern / Rothberg, our former Betches Brides Instagram gal. You've seen her a ton on the account before. And I was like, who did you pick? Didn't you guys have a friend marry you? And she was like, yeah, it was our friend from college. So that her and her fiance, Justin, went to college together. So they knew the same kind of friend. And she was like, the reason we picked this guy was because he kind of knew both of us equally. And he was able to like put really funny personalized stories in the vows for us that like were about both of us. And he also just had a really good presence and speaking presence. And we knew he'd be good for this type of job. So that's kind of, I know she kind of lucked out because they went to college together and had friends. So I don't know if this listener who wrote in kind of has that situation or not. Go on.
Sorry. So I am, as I mentioned before, I'm Jewish and my fiance is Catholic. So we are not doing we're doing some traditions in our wedding, but we are not having a rabbi or a priest marry us. My brothers are going to do it. And I think, I think a family member is like a great person to ask, but like, honestly, even more than them being just related to me, they're again, really good and like really funny at like holding a room and public speaking. And so I think that that's really more even so than like who's closest to you, are they equally close, are they this or that. I think the question is like, are they going to be like, cause I think you want it to be like intimate, but you also want to like, people are watching. So you want them to like have a sense of like how to hold a room.
It's a performance.
It is kind of a performance. And they have to, you know, it has to be like they have to do the official things, but then do it in a way that's like, that again, you feel like they know you, you feel like it's intimate, but there are certain things you also have to say. It's pretty easy to get ordained. So I would just do this part based on someone who either like knows you really well or like knows you sort of well and is also just like good at public speaking. It's like almost like a totally different skill set than a bridesmaid or a groomsman. It's like, this is someone who can speak to a room and who you feel like knows and loves you. And I don't think anyone will be offended that they weren't asked to do that, because I don't think most people like really like want the pressure of doing that. I don't think it's like, oh, I can't believe you chose this person and not me. It's more like, this is the, I think when, if you're good at public speaking, you kind of know about it. If you're good at commanding a room, you kind of know right. that. And I think that the people who don't are not going to be offended that they're not asked to do this really high pressure thing.
Right, right. I doubt there's people like auditioning for this role for you. That's the thing. No, this is a high pressure job. It has some prep involved. They have to obviously go to the rehearsal and stuff. And I'm sure they have to prep before and like know the different segments of the ceremony that is going on. So I think that's the number one criteria, though, is like, just make sure they want to do it and can speak in a room. Don't get somebody who's like going to freak out and get super nervous public speaking, because it's a public thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like people who like do that for a living, like rabbis and priests, or like that's like a huge part of like that skill set is like being able to like have like this charming pull of mm-hmm. a room. And I do think it's not, I guess, definitely not for everyone. In terms of her, the second part of her question about how to include people that you're not necessarily making bridesmaids, I think a great way to do that is to ask them to get ready with you, to ask them to come early, maybe to get some pictures taken with you. Mm-hmm. Just to show them that you want them to be like involved, even if they're not like walking down the aisle or something. You could say like, come early, I would love to do this, or right. invite them to the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah. The go-to for a Catholic ceremony is to just give them a reading. Like some of my aunts and other like family members who I want to make them feel special and I want them to be involved, but obviously I'm not going to like make them a bridesmaid. I'm just going to give them a reading to do, because there's like five different readings in a Catholic ceremony.
You could ask if they want to do a speech at the at what, like the rehearsal dinner. You could mm-hmm. ask them to MC the speeches if you're not doing that many speeches. I think there's like
that's a fun one.
Yeah, I think the pictures thing is a really easy, fun way to like show that you care about people and you like want pictures with them, professional pictures with them, even if you're not doing like a formal bridesmaid thing.
Yeah.
I know Sammy didn't have bridesmaids, but I mean, before COVID, when she was going to have her original wedding, she was like, I would love for you to like come and like get ready with me. Didn't wind up working out for her second wedding because it was like so small and like the COVID thing. But I thought that was like a nice also like in between.
That's a good thing. Idea. I'm still stuck on the MC thing. I want to MC a wedding now.
I don't think it's actually that. I mean, like, it's probably like fun if you're like, actually, I could see you doing it. You're like an improv person. You probably
maybe
love it.
That'll be like a side hustle. I'll just be a wedding MC and you can hire me. I guess that's what the DJ does at weddings. At some wedding, whatever.
My brothers are so funny.
That'll be good.
Excited for them to officiate.
And that's like sentimental too, because they've obviously known you forever. And I'm sure they've gotten close with Mike. I think that's good too. If you have a good, funny, like, family member, make them do it. They're all three gonna officiate.
Yeah, so the oldest one is like we're doing like some Jewish stuff in it, so he knows all that stuff. And you know, they're all funny, they're all good. And the other two, like, they're twins, so they've got like a good dynamic too, back and forth.
Oh, that'll be fun. I like when the ceremony is like funny and entertaining. Mike and I both we had talked about it, like, if, God forbid, like, our deacon falls through or something and we, like, need to get a friend to officiate it. We both know who it would be. Seth, if you're listening, it'd be you. It's, like, one of our friends who knows us really well, has known me since high school, has been friends with Mike for a while through me. But he's just, like, hilarious, like a stand-up comedian. He should be. And he is good at, like, commanding a room, and we were like, that he would be, he would make it fun. He'd make it like a little show.
I think it's always nice to have it be like more intimate. All right, let's do one more. All right. First of all, you guys are great and I really value your advice and opinions. Can you discuss who to include in your bridal party? My specific question, should I include spouses of my fiance's siblings, regardless of how close we are? My fiance has a sister and stepbrother, both of whom are married. I am close with my fiance's sister and I want her in my bridal party. Additionally, her husband will officiate the ceremony. Look at that. Another officiant. My fiance's stepbrother will likely be best man. Should I include his wife, who I've only met once and don't feel close to? I don't want her to feel excluded, but I also barely know her. Not sure if this matters, but the bridal party is already on the bigger side. We will probably have about 8 bridesmaids and 8 groomsmen before the addition of his stepbrother's wife. Thanks so much for your help. Are you doing in-laws?
Yes. So Mike's sister, who I'm lucky to love and be close to, so she's in the bridal party. here's the thing. Maybe this is like the traditional Italian in me. And I know my normal motto for any questions you guys ask us, just always know that it's usually just like, do whatever the fuck you want. It's your day. Make yourself happy. However, for this one, I am kind of traditional in that I do think, like, I like the idea of the sibling of your fiance being in your bridal party. I think it's special. I think it's nice. I think
she's asking for here is not the sibling though. It's like the sibling's husband.
Yeah. So that's what I'm,
is your like brother-in-law going to be in Mike's bridal party?
Yes. Because they've grown really, really close. But if they hadn't, like, we've known Ben forever or whatever, I would not tell Mike he has to put him in. I think if it's an immediate brother, but if it's a in-law, I don't think that's a must at all. I think some families might think, if you're like very traditional, a lot of times Italians are like this, I think they might be expecting you to, but I say do you, and you don't have to. What about you?
I think if you're not sure, I also think, again, this is one of those situations where like the person probably doesn't really want to do it anyway. But like you both might feel like kind of weird, like not addressing it. What I would do is I would tell my fiance to kind of like float this by. She's saying her fiance's stepbrother is the best man. Should she include the stepbrother's wife? So I think that I would have, because they're so close, these is best men, I would have your fiance talk to his stepbrother and be like, you know, like ex, your whatever your name is, like, mm-hmm. She's kind of putting together her bridal party. She's not really sure. Do you think his wife's name will be like offended if she wasn't asked? Do you think she wants to be in it? Like, we weren't really sure what her thoughts were. Mm-hmm. And then I think you can ask, that sort of like gives it to him to like, he knows her really well. He'll know if she's going to be like mad that she wasn't included, or if she'll be like not caring at all. And then you're kind of figuring, you're kind of like putting out feelers to find out if she'll care. And then I think you can make that decision there. I think if she did really care, if she would feel insulted, it might be worth it to just throw her in there.
Yeah. And especially I forgot that she's the best man, it's his wife. So that adds another layer. If it's the best man, if it's just a groomsman, there's less pressure to just obligatorily put in the wife of the groomsman. But if it's the best man's wife, then that adds a little more pressure there.
Well, I would just say it just means that they're really close. So I think that you'll get like an honest read from him about like what his thoughts are. And usually men are not quite as like, and I don't want to generalize, but I do feel like they're a little bit less like, he's just going to tell you like if she would care. Like, he knows his wife, he's going to know if she's going to be annoyed or if she's literally not going to care at all. And I think that like, that'll be the best way for you to not have to like do something that neither of you want to do just because, or like potentially insult someone who's actually kind of sensitive about that thing. But there's no way to know unless you ask. And I don't even think you need to ask, because that's awkward. You can have him ask.
Yeah. Yeah. I got asked sort of like that, like through Mike. It was one of Mike's friends who was getting married, and the bride like wanted me to be in the wedding and kind of like asked her husband to ask Mike if he thinks it'd be okay. And it was a good way to gauge, like, but it was funny because it was kind of like, I knew that she had asked because the boys like fucked it up and weren't supposed to like ask me directly. I don't know. It was this whole thing, but it was a good way. And turns out I was like, sure, I'll be a bridesmaid. Why not? So,
yeah, I'm saying like, you were probably like flattered and happy, but also like wouldn't have been offended
exactly
if you hadn't been. So I think like these things are a little sensitive, but I would use whoever has the most comfortable, strong, most open relationship, I would always just use that to facilitate these conversations, because you're going to get like a real and like not
totally
awkward sense of what's going on.
And like we always say, put it up to the fiance. Our motto, another motto we always say on this podcast is, make your fiance do some of the work. It's always left to us to like find out and ask the awkward questions.
If it's their, side that has the awkwardness, let them weed through that stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, let's play Runaway Bride, our favorite game. You've heard us talk about it before. You're at the altar. You find this out. Are you bouncing or are you getting married? You'll deal with it later.
Love it. First one here. They share custody of their dog with an ex.
I'm just confused. Like, how don't I know that at the wedding? Like,
yeah,
they're like, it's funny if they're like, you know, like how someone's like, oh, I actually have a son.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I actually have a dog that I just like am estranged from, but like, I'm going to start being more in his life. Is that like how this would come about?
I don't know. I guess if you're just finding it out at the altar, this person hasn't been keeping in good contact with their divorce.
Maybe it's like they miss this dog and they really want to like get back in its life. I would kind of be like, let's just get another dog together. Like,
yeah,
let that dog go.
And look, I'm not a dog mom yet. That's on my 2021 goals. So I don't know the attachment one feels to their own dog, but I do know that there are couples that say like when they're together, they're like, we designate who will get the dog.
Oh, you should totally do that.
God forbid you break up. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, 100%,
you should do that. You should do that with your furniture, anything major you purchase, like. Talk about what you're going to do if you like break. I've heard of that for like living together, like discussing that kind of stuff, even if you're not married yet.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be a lot more rational about it when you're still together.
Listen to our prenup episode if you haven't. Scroll
exactly.
back and listen.
That's a great episode to listen to. But the thing with the dog and the ex, I find like I would assume that if I hadn't heard about it until my wedding day, that he hasn't seen it that much anyway, or it's not. So I'm going to still go through with it. And then I'm going to be like, you're not sharing custody of this dog anymore. Like, give her the dog. We'll get a new dog.
Same. This is just a little annoying hiccup. Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going to cut losses with that dog. We're going to get one together. Yeah, this is just an annoying hiccup to me. It's not a deal breaker.
Okay, next one. Sure. Runaway bride. They accidentally call you their ex's name while at the altar. So they pull a Ross Geller at the altar with Emily.
Yep.
When he says her name.
Yep, he says Rachel when he's marrying Emily. It's exactly what I thought of. This one is tough. And this is like technically you're supposed to walk down the aisle and you decide then if you're going to run. This person's already walked down the aisle. So they're at the altar. And the ex says, or the husband says the ex's name. I don't know.
It's mortifying. That would be so embarrassing.
I would freak out. Like the wedding ceremony would definitely be paused and I'd be like, you and me and right now, like have a word.
Right. Would you go through with it though? I think I would still, cause it could just be like literally like you zoned out for a second. Like,
yeah.
I do think it's like a mistake, but like, yeah, we would have to have like a discussion about it. It would really depend on like what the, like how triggering the ex was and like how, like, if I actually thought there was like potentially something up. Or something like that. Like, but I think if it was an ex from like high school and he said the name, I'd be like, all right, this is really, really annoying. And like, you owe me big time. But like,
I would demand to know like what exactly was going through their head when the name was said.
Right.
I would definitely like ask all of that annoying stuff, but then I would be like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah, you owe me. It'd be something I'd be very mad about.
Right. I think if I wasn't like super intimidated by the ex or there wasn't like I wasn't actually worried about them like having an affair with them, I'd probably get over it.
Right.
Eventually.
Right. Anything with exes and getting married, my motto for that, lots of mottos all the time. My motto for that is like, usually like, don't worry about the ex. Cause we've had questions before that are like, what do I do if my ex is at my wedding? If my husband's ex is invited to the wedding, cause they're still friends and stuff. My thing is like, don't worry, he's still there marrying you. So like, try not to let that get in the way. But
right.
For this,
well, I mean,
still,
like if you actually are intimidated or feel like that this is a potential real threat, then I actually do think like there might be more of an issue with the actual marriage than like just this is just the symbol of what's symptom of what's going on. Like you need to address like what the actual issue is, which is that like maybe you don't trust them or there's something weird going on there. You want to do the last one?
Yeah. So the last one, and you guys submitted these, so keep DMing them. We'll do them on Instagram. Best way to get these to us, email, DM. They're hilarious. This last one is, they want you to quit your job to be a stay-at-home parent, but they don't make a lot of money at all to support you guys.
I don't even know if it matters to me if they like, if how much money they're making. I'm still going to be like out. Like, we're, first of all, this is not the place to discuss that.
Right.
But I think anyone, I mean, if they can want anything they want, if they like insist on it, then I'm out. If they're like, I would really like it. And I think that goes for like anything. It's like, if they really want something, fine, we can like discuss maybe some sort of compromise around like what the heart of the issue is. But like, if you're like, you have to do this, like, that's not a way to be in any relationship. Right.
I remember I can't remember what it is, but I remember we had a question like this similar. It was like, they tell you, you must do something. And that was like a big no. It's like, don't tell me what to do. It like these random things.
Right.
I don't know.
Anything that's like an absolute is like a very bad sign. I think anything that's like, it's this or nothing or this or the highway, like, I think that's a bad sign in itself. But like, if they're like, oh, I would love for you to be a stay-at-home parent, like, fine, we can discuss it. But I'm not like, I would never agree to something that was like, you have to do this, like, in any way,
like a deal breaker. Like, I will not marry you if you don't agree right now to quit your job and stay at home. And like, no, I don't know. These are outrageous. You guys keep them coming.
Yeah. If you guys have any other questions you want our advice on or any other runaway bride scenarios, please email us brides@betches.com. Don't forget to follow us at Betches Brides on Instagram. And I think Twitter too, right? At Betches Brides.
Yep. Betches Brides.
Yeah. Nicole is making the best TikToks about getting married and all things wedding. So check them out, check her out, check me out. And we'll see you next week. Till death do us part.
Betches.